Inshallah, a brief lesson of tafsir will take place. Brothers, inshallah, come closer, it will be beneficial, inshallah. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. نحمده ونصلي ونسلم على رسوله الكريم. ما بعد، أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. وكذلك بعثناهم ليتساءلوا بينهم قال قائل منهم كم لبثتم قالوا لبثنا يوما أو بعض يوم قالوا ربكم أعلم بما لبثتم فبعثوا أحدكم بورقكم هذه إلى المدينة فلينظر أيها أزكى طعاما فليأتكم برزق منه وليتلطف ولا يشعرن بكم أحدا إنهم إن يظهروا عليكم يرجموكم أو يعيدوكم في ملتهم ولن تفلحوا إذا أبدا وكذلك أعثرنا عليهم ليعلموا أن وعد الله حق وأن الساعة لا ريب فيها إذ يتنازعون بينهم أمرهم فقالوا ابنوا عليهم بنيانا ربهم أعلم بهم قال الذين غلبوا على أمرهم لنتخذن عليهم مسجدا سيقولون ثلاثة رابعهم كلبهم ويقولون خمسة سادسهم كلبهم رجما بالغيب ويقولون سبعة وثامنهم كلبهم قل ربي أعلم بعدتهم ما يعلمهم إلا قليل فلا تمار فيهم إلا مراء ظاهرا ولا تستفت فيهم منهم أحدا صدق الله العظيم. Alhamdulillah, so far we were continuing with the story of Suratul Kahf, of the youngsters of the cave. The youngsters of the Kahf, which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions inside of Suratul Kahf. So we're coming to a conclusion and an end of this story inshallah, and hopefully we'll finalize it today and maybe move on to the next discussion. Allah ta'ala says, I think I did this ayah last week. When the youngsters, they woke up, وَكَذَلِكَ بَعَثْنَاهُمْ And thereafter we woke them up, لِيَتَسَاءَلُوا بَيْنَهُمْ So they may ask questions to each other, a display of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's power. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's purpose for creating the whole universe is a display of His power. So in the hadith it mentions, كُنْتُ كَنْزًا مَخْفِيًّا فَأَرَدْتُ أَنْ أُعْرَفُ I was a hidden treasure and I wanted to be discovered. So I created the creation. فَخَلَقْتُ الْخَلْقِ I was a hidden treasure. Before the creation of the creation, before Allah Ta'ala created everything, there was nothing except Allah. But Allah Ta'ala says, I wanted someone to witness my power, so I created the creation. So everything Allah Ta'ala does in this dunya is to manifest and to make apparent His power. And then again the test remains. The test remains, because if it was very clear and very evident for every single person, then there would be no test. Then Jannah would not be hard-earned. However, Jannah is a very hard-earned, difficult thing to acquire. Like you have a challenging test, challenging examination, and the reward of that is going to be very great. Similarly, this is a challenging test. Life of dunya is a challenging test. Every second, every minute, a person can have a boost of iman. Go to Haramain Sharifain, Makkah Mukarramah, Medina Munawwara, come back with a boost of iman, but then 2 weeks later, goes down. It's a test. If it was to always stay in the same state, like the Sahabi Sayyidina Hudhayfa radiallahu anhu, he mentions that when he stayed in the gathering of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and then he would leave the gathering of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he would feel the difference of his iman. And he met Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu, and he said, Sayyidina Hanzala radiallahu anhu, and he said, Nafaqa Hanzala. Hanzala has become a munafiq, a hypocrite. He said, why, O Hanzala? He says, because, O Abu Bakr, when we're in the gathering of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, our iman is there. And when we go back home with our wife and children and this and that, then he just feels a totally different level. Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu said, I feel exactly the same way. Let's go to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and mention this to him. When they went to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, O Hanzala, O Abu Bakr, if your iman stayed at the same level that it was in my gathering, then the angels would be shaking hands with you in the streets. Because it's, but it's not possible. This is the whole purpose of this test, that there will be a fluctuation in the iman that a person feels, the strength of iman that a person... The iman is there. The haqiqah of iman, the reality of iman can't fluctuate, but in the strength or in the feeling of that iman, the positivity and the feeling, all of that can change. And similarly, in the a'mal of iman, you can feel a difference. A'mal of iman, salah and tilawat of Qur'an and dhikr. There are times when you feel really motivated. Times when you really enjoy your salah, and at times when not so much. So these are a'mal of iman, a person can have fluctuation. But in the haqiqah of iman, the reality of iman, there can be no fluctuation. The reality of iman has to be the same. So this is all to display and mention to people Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's power. Allah ta'ala says, we awaken them. So they might question one another. One of them exclaimed, Kam labithum? How long have you people been sleeping? Some replied, قالوا لبثنا يوما أو بعض يوم. Maybe part of a day or one day. And then they spoke to each other. Eventually they decided, ربكم أعلم بما لبثتم. You know what, there's no point talking about this. Allah knows best, subhanahu wa ta'ala, how long you have remained in this cave. What you need to do is take one of these. فبعثوا أحدكم بورقكم هذه. Send one of your members with these silver coins, pieces of silver that you possess, to the city. فَلْيَنْظُرْ أَيُّهَا أَزْكَى طَعَامًا Let him go and see which is the most halal food, most pure food, the best food. And last week I mentioned there's an opinion of the Mufassirun that which is the most delicious food. That to desire food which is tasty is, in and of itself, is not a bad thing. Especially if a person has had a very hard time, very difficult time. And that's why some Mufassirun mentioned that the Ashab al-Kahf had been through so much difficulty all this time. They'd escaped from their people, they were in so much panic, and they'd come to the cave, and now they woke up from this long sleep and they wanted some good food. And there's nothing wrong with this. A person has good food and they thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But majority of Mufassirun say it refers to halal, tayyib, pure food. Because most of the meat, etc., that was sacrificed in the city was sacrificed in the name of idols. As majority of Mufassirun and those who have done tahqiq and research mentioned that it was the time of the Roman Emperor Decius, and they would worship the Roman gods. So the idols, the food would be sacrificed in the name of those gods. He said, fine, halal food and come. However, فَلْيَتَلَطَّفْ Be very, very careful. Be very secretive. Be very cautious. Don't let anyone discover you. وَلَا يُشْعِرَنَّ بِكُمْ أَحَدًا Don't let anyone get shu'ur, awareness of you. Don't let anyone discover you. Don't let anyone become aware of you. Go very secretively. So books of Tafsir mentioned they sent Yamlikha. Yamlikha was a skinny, you know, person. And he was one of the youngest. He's skinny and he's quite quick. They said, you just go there quick, get the food, come back quick. Right? And he was quite intelligent. They said, you know what, don't say anything wrong. Be very careful in what you say. إِنَّهُمْ إِن يَظْهَرُوا عَلَيْكُمْ يَرْجُمُوكُمْ. Indeed, if they come to know of you, يَرْجُمُوكُمْ, they will stone you. أَوْ يُعِيدُوكُمْ فِي مِلَّتِهِمْ, or they will force you to go back to their religion. And if you do that, you will never be successful. You left the deen of idol worship and you entered the deen of Tawheed, oneness, believe in one Allah. If you go back to idol worship, this is the greatest disgrace. After recognizing the truth, the haqq, the reality, to leave that and to go back to kufr, this is the worst thing that you can ever do. The greatest disgrace, most miserable state you can ever be in. Allah protect us. This happens because remember, when a person discovers the beauty of iman and the sweetness of iman, the ulama say, it's impossible for you to go back from there. When the sweetness of iman comes in, it's impossible for you to go back from there. But what is the sweetness of iman? If a person says, I have the sweetness of iman because I really understand Islam is truth, it's impossible for me to ever leave Islam. We have to be very careful. Sayyidina Abu Darda radiallahu anhu used to say, when a person says, you know, I will never become a non-Muslim, I will never leave Islam, I will always be a Muslim, and they have certainty over their iman, such certainty that is like, they think it's certain they will die upon iman, this is a sign that they will lose their iman. Iman is nobody's gain, iman is nobody's thing that they acquired, iman is Allah's gift. If Allah, through Allah's mercy, Allah's rahmah, Allah gave me iman today, but tomorrow, because of some bad deed I did, like we mentioned in the hadith lesson, the story of Shaykh Abdullah al-Andalusi, something I did, Allah's gaze of rahmah turns away from me, iman would be taken straight away. Person would not even know what happened. Like the case of Shaykh Abu Abdullah al-Andalusi, this is a story I mentioned in the hadith lesson on Sunday, Riyadh al-Salihin lesson. So this is the reality. If you leave your iman and you become a non-Muslim, this is the greatest form of disgrace. Allah has given you the understanding. But you don't know, will you be able to withstand the pressure? You go in there, and so we understand from this, having hilas and having plans to avoid falling into fitna is recommended, is necessary. If a person says, I'm fine, doesn't matter what they do to me, I'm going to die upon Islam. You don't know. That's why the Prophet ﷺ said, seek protection in Allah from all the fitnas. And especially the greatest fitna, the fitna of Masih al-Dajjal. Seek Allah's protection from those fitnas. Because nobody knows will they be able to withstand it. You don't know the level of your own iman. And shaitan will deceive you by telling you your iman is solid. The shaitan's deceit. Your iman is solid. Because the sahaba, the greatest of sahaba would feel that their iman was so weak. The greatest of sahaba would feel that maybe I'm a hypocrite. So to say my iman is solid is shaitan's deception. Shaitan says, yes, I've got him in that trap. And then I'll put him in such a test, his iman will disappear. Happens. And it can happen overnight. So go very secretively. I'm not putting these points on the screen, but I should ideally be putting them, inshallah. Last week I discussed these, that's why. So this is all recap from last week. إِنَّهُمْ إِن يَظْهَرُوا عَلَيْكُمْ يَرْجُمُوكُمْ أَوْ يُعِيدُوكُمْ فِي مِلَّتِهِمْ وَلَنْ تُفْلِحُوا إِذًا أَبَدًا وَكَذَلِكَ أَعْثَرْنَا عَلَيْهِمْ. So it doesn't mention here, the Quran goes silent. What happened when this youngster, he went into the city to look for food? What happened? The Quran doesn't mention it because it's not necessary. But the scholars of tafsir say he went into the city, and remember it had been 309 years. It's going to come 309 years. And I mentioned the tafsir points. He went into the city and he found some halal food, and he went to the shopkeeper to purchase the food, and the shopkeeper said, okay, this is the payment. He took out the coins and the shopkeeper said, these coins are not, are you joking with me? This is mazak, this is some mockery. How can I use this? What is this? So he thought, this, maybe it's the wrong coin. Pulled out a different coin. He said, what's this coin? We don't use these, what is this? And so much, you know, it became quite rowdy and noisy, and other people's attention was drawn of other people, the opposite of what he had been instructed. But he kept pulling out coins, he had more coins, he was pulling out more coins, and more confusion. And then people came close and said, look, let's inspect these coins. And he said these, some scholars say the coins were minted. Because minting of coins was normal then as well, when you have the, you know, the face of the emperor or the king or whatever, it was minted. And they looked and they said, this is not our emperor king. This is Decius. 300 years ago he lived. Who are you people? So he goes, okay, this is, they're going to start investigation. And then they reassured him, look, we're not going to do anything to harm you. In this meanwhile, someone came and he said, they may be the youngsters who left so many years ago. And they found the tablet upon which was inscribed their names. Yamlikha and Makshalmina and all of their names, and said, is it you people? And said, you've got nothing to fear. DCS and those people who tortured you and tortured the Muslims and the believers in Allah at that time, they've all gone. This is, everybody believes in Allah now. And the ulama say it was a time of pure monotheism, but they were followers of Sayyidina Isa alayhi salam. He said, it's gone, you've got nothing to fear. So he said, are you sure you've got nothing to fear? I can tell my comrades, my colleagues to come out of the hiding. He said, yes, you can. So Yamlikha, he started walking back to the cave. As he started traveling, obviously a huge group of people are traveling with him. Now the companions in the cave, they're waiting, watching, worried, concerned. What's going to happen? Is he going to come back? Is the army going to be with him? Are the soldiers going to be with him? Police going to be with him? But as they're watching, they see he's coming with a group of people. They become scared, fearful, and they retreat back into the cave. Yamlikha realizes, my companion is going to be very scared. They're going to be fearful. And natural fear, this is not something which is a bad quality. Natural fear is understandable. And this is why a person, you know, Sayyidina Musa alayhi salam in the Quran, Allah Ta'ala mentions, when Sayyidina Musa alayhi salam threw down his staff and he became a snake, he turned around and he went back. He got scared. He felt fear. Allah Ta'ala says, لا تخف. Don't fear. Pick it up. And سَنُعِيدُهَا سِيرَتْهَا الْأُولَى. We will change it back to its original state of a staff. So that natural fear that a person fears, oh, it's a snake. So all they're coming to, you know, harm us. So they went back into the cave. So Yamlikha said, hold on. If we all go together, they're not going to accept, they're going to become very scared. Let me go ahead and reassure them that, you know, we're all on the same deen and you've got nothing to worry about. He went into the cave, he didn't come back. So they waited for a while and they thought, let's go. So when they went into the cave, they saw that all of these people had passed away and Allah Ta'ala had taken their lives. They had passed away. And they realized these are those youngsters. So they mentioned that tablet upon which their names were, it was preserved there. And this is where they started to discuss what Allah Ta'ala mentions here. وَكَذَلِكَ أَعْثَرْنَا عَلَيْهِمْ. And in this way, أَعْثَرْنَا عَلَيْهِمْ. We made the people discover them. لِيَعْلَمُوا أَنَّ وَعْدَ اللَّهِ حَقٍّ. Why did we make the people discover them? 300 years of sleep. Why did we not just keep them asleep till the day of Qiyamah? So that they realize that Allah's promise is true, the day of Qiyamah will happen. As I mentioned last week, this was a time when one of the biggest issues that people were facing was this discussion of life after death. And I mentioned there was a Roman priest or, you know, religious person, Theodore. And he was arguing so strongly, and especially in that area, in that region, arguing so strongly the point that life after death is not a reality. It can't exist. It can't be true. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala decided that these people who had gone to sleep, I will bring them back. So you people understand, if Allah ta'ala can bring people back to life after 300 years of sleep, then why is it impossible for Allah ta'ala to bring all of humanity back on the day of Qiyamah? لِيَعْلَمُوا أَنَّ وَعْدَ اللَّهِ حَقٍّ. So that they will realize that the day of Qiyamah is true. وَأَنَّ Allah's promise is true about the day of Qiyamah. وَأَنَّ السَّاعَةَ لَا رَيْبَ فِيهَا. And the day of Qiyamah, there is no doubt about it. It will surely happen. And then what happened? إِذْ يَتَنَازَعُونَ بَيْنَهُمْ أَمْرَهُمْ. When they were disputing amongst themselves, what should we do now? They passed away, what should we do now? What's the best method of action now that they've passed away? Should we bury them? What should we do? قَالُوا بُنُوا عَلَيْهِمْ بُنْيَانًا. Some of them said, let's build a building here, like a mausoleum. You know, mausoleum, to remember that these were pious men and they passed away, build a building. So some scholars of tafsir mentioned that this was what the opinion that the non-Muslims were saying. Whoever were non-Muslim there, they said, just build a building. Build a shrine, build a tomb, build a monument. And then قَالَ الَّذِينَ غَلَبُوا عَلَىٰ أَمْرِهِمْ. So قَالَ إِذْ يَتَنَازَعُونَ بَيْنَهُمْ أَمْرَهُمْ فَقَالُوا بُنُوا عَلَيْهِمْ بُنْيَانًا. They said, build a building over them. رَبُّهُمْ أَعْلَمُ بِهِمْ. Their Rabb knows best regarding them. Leave their situation, leave them concealed. We don't need to disturb them, we don't need to bother them. قَالَ الَّذِينَ غَلَبُوا عَلَىٰ أَمْرِهِمْ. However, those whose opinion prevailed. Some scholars say the Muslims. The Muslims, their opinion prevailed because majority of the people were Muslim. They said, لَنَتَّخِذَنَّ عَلَيْهِمْ مَسْجِدًا. We will surely build a masjid here. It's the prime place to build a masjid. Why? Because Allah Ta'ala's pious awliya, saints, are buried here. Whenever we come here, we remember Allah Ta'ala, we remember His great miracle of reviving these people after they had passed away. It'll boost our iman. Others say, قَالَ الَّذِينَ غَلَبُوا عَلَىٰ أَمْرِهِمْ. Those people whose opinion dominated, means the leadership. The leaders, the rulers, they said, we want to build a masjid here. That's what we're going to do. So they decided we'll build a masjid here. Quran does not tell us which was right and which was wrong. Was it better to build a building there? Was it better to build a masjid there? But this is what happened. Allah Ta'ala is telling us, this is the discussion. Nobody was there to witness this discussion. All those people who were there, who actually with their own eyes saw the Ashabul Kahf, they've all passed away. Allah Ta'ala is mentioning an incident of the past to show that, look, you people don't know. And I'm informing Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, and through him I'm informing you of certain details. That there was a discussion, what should we do there? Should we build a building, a monument, mausoleum, or should we build a tomb, or should we build a masjid? And those people whose opinion overcome, they won the vote, they said, let's build a masjid, and a masjid was built there, a place of worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Right? I brought these points here. Allah Ta'ala made the youth known so that people would see a living example of life after death, confirming that His promise is true and the day of Qiyamah is real. And these are the points I just mentioned. سيقولون ثلاثة رابعهم كلبهم. Allah Ta'ala says, سيقولون, they will say, ثلاثة, there were three of them, رابعهم كلبهم, the fourth of them was their dog. Meaning when they have their discussions, this is what they say. ويقولون خمسة, others will say that there were five of them. سادسهم كلبهم, the sixth of them was their dog, رجما بالغيب. Allah Ta'ala says, رجما بالغيب. رجم means to throw. Actually, رجم means to shoot. بالغيب, into the unseen. Shooting into the unseen, you know, like when an archer, if he can see what he is aiming at and he shoots it, there's a chance of him hitting the target. If he doesn't know and he just fires an arrow into the darkness, he's going to miss the target, unless he's fluke, right? But most likely, most certainly, most definitely, he'll miss the target. So Allah Ta'ala is calling the rajman bil ghaib. These guesses that they're making, a wild conjecture. Wild conjecture. They don't know, they're just guessing, they're just talking. Oh, there was three of them, and the fourth of them was their dog. No, there was five of them, the sixth of them was their dog. And then finally Allah Ta'ala says, وَيَقُولُونَ سَبْعَةٌ وَثَامِنُهُمْ كَلْبُهُمْ. And others will say, there were seven of them, and the eighth of them was their dog. قُلْ رَبِّي أَعْلَمُ بِعِدَّتِهِمْ. Say, my Rabb knows best about their number. Allah knows best how many they were. The scholars say that there were actually seven of them. Majority of the scholars say there were seven of them, and the eighth one was their dog. Why they say this is based on the format of the ayahs. It's like, you know, even when you have a discussion, or this is an opinion, this is an opinion, this is an opinion, and this is the sound opinion. You mention the sound opinion, the correct opinion at the end. Majority of the Mufassirun have said based on this, that the correct opinion is that there were seven Ashabul Kahf, and the eighth of them was their dog. So seven people, and the eighth that was with them was their dog. Because straight after that, Allah Ta'ala says, قُلْ رَبِّي أَعْلَمُ بِعِدَّتِهِمْ مَا يَعْلَمُهُمْ إِلَّا قَلِيلٌ. Say that no one knows their real number except my Rabb. My Rabb knows their real number. Very few people apart from my Rabb, apart from Allah, know how many people actually were there. And Sayyidina Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu, when he would recite this ayah, he would say, أَنَا مِنَ الْقَلِيلِ. I am from those few people who know how many Ashabul Kahf there were. And when his companions, his students would say, how many were they then? He would say, there were seven of them, and the eighth one was their dog. So it seems, if Sayyidina Abdullah ibn Abbas, the great Mufassir of Quran, is taking this opinion, and many of the Mufassirun have taken this opinion, this seems to be the strongest opinion, that there were seven Ashabul Kahf, and the eighth one with them was their dog. The dog was the eighth member that was with them. فَلَا تُمَارِي فِيهِمْ إِلَّا مِرَاءً ظَاهِرًا. So don't argue about this matter. إِلَّا مِرَاءً ظَاهِرًا. Except an apparent argumentation. Apparent argumentation means a basic discussion. Have a basic discussion. If you want to have a discussion about the Ashabul Kahf, have a basic one. What does that mean? The scholars say, just mention the facts of the Quran, don't go beyond that. Unnecessary. Because in those days, it was a heated topic. People were talking about it. Everybody was saying, I heard this. No, you're wrong. I heard this. That's why there's all these opinions. You know, there's three of them and the fourth and there's five of them and the sixth. Because there was so much heated discussion regarding it, Allah Ta'ala is saying, فَلَا تُمَارِي فِيهِمْ. Don't argue about them. What's the point of this? What's the point arguing about how many of them were? How many of them there were? إِلَّا مِرَاءً ظَاهِرًا. Except a basic discussion. Mira means jagra, argumentation. Zahira, apparent. You know, someone will say, you're arguing, but you're not arguing. You're just presenting facts. And thus I'm not going to talk anymore. Thus I presented the facts which the Quran have mentioned. وَلَا تَسْتَفْتِ فِيهِمْ مِنْهُمْ أَحَدًا. And don't ask any of these people, the Ahlul Kitab, Yahud and Nasara, about them. Don't ask the Christians and the Jews about them. Whatever knowledge they have is all just mixed up. Allah has now clarified, subhanahu wa ta'ala, the correct version of events, who these people were, how long they remained in the cave, which is going to be the next ayah. That's all you need to understand. You don't need to go beyond that. Because look, the whole point of the, and it's going to come now, the whole point of all of the story of Ashabul Kahf is to show Allah's power. That's it. There's no point falling into what were their names, where did they live, what did they look like, how many of them were there. These are unnecessary discussions. What's the takeaway? What's the takeaway behind this? The takeaway is to understand Allah's power and the fact that Allah can give life after death. If you've understood this point, then the purpose of the story has been fulfilled. وَلَا تَقُولَنَّ لِشَيْءٍ إِنِّي فَاعِلٌ ذَٰلِكَ غَدًا. And never say about anything that I am definitely going to do this tomorrow. إِلَّا أَن يَشَاءَ اللَّهِ. Without adding, Inshallah, if Allah wills. Never say, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and by extension the ummah, never say that you will do anything tomorrow without saying illa in yasha Allah. The ulama say this, ghadan, tomorrow, doesn't mean tomorrow as in tomorrow, Thursday. It means in the future. This ghadan is mutlaq, refers to future. Hinum min al-zaman, any time in the future, that a person says, I'm going to do this in the future. Always say inshallah. Why was this ayah revealed? In the middle of the story of Kahf. Because after that Allah is going to carry on talking, subhanahu wa ta'ala, is going to carry on talking about the people of Kahf. Why just drop this right in the middle? Because when the Yahud of Medina, they came and they asked these three questions from the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, who are the Ashab al-Kahf? Who was Dhul Qarnayn? Okay? What is the nature of the ruh? The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam thought, you know what? On small matters, wahi comes straight away. Small matters. And this is a big matter. The Yahud are testing me to check if I'm a true prophet of Allah or not. Allah Ta'ala's help will come, wahi will come. He said, I'll tell you tomorrow. And it wasn't that the Prophet ﷺ didn't believe or didn't realize that only if Allah allows it will come tomorrow. He realized it, but in haste, he just felt, you know, small matters, revelation comes, this is a big test. Allah Ta'ala will definitely mention something to me in revelation. I'll tell you tomorrow. They came the next day, no revelation. They were laughing at the Prophet ﷺ. Second day, no revelation. Third day, 15 days. Hafiz ibn Kathir rahmatullahi alayhi mentions, تَأَخَّرَ الْوَحْيُ 15 يَوْمًا. 15 days the wahi was delayed. They made a laughing stock, or they tried to make a laughing stock of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. 15 days is a long time, 2 weeks. Imagine, 2 weeks. They would use a second if they could, a minute if they could, to disprove that Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is a true prophet. Imagine if they had 15 days. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is feeling so much sadness. What's happened? Why? Until the angel Jibreel alaihi wasallam came. So straight away angel Jibreel alaihi wasallam answered the question, but in the middle of the question the lesson was taught. O Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, never ever say regarding something tomorrow that illa, you know, I will do this. Illa in yasha Allah, except without saying inshaAllah. This is the quality of a believer. And the ulama say it's not just something you say from your mouth, it's something you feel in your heart. I can't do it unless Allah allows. You've got to have this, you know, in your heart, this iman, this confidence, this certainty that if Allah allows, it will happen. If Allah doesn't allow, I can't do anything. This is taught at every step of our life, isn't it? When Adhan goes, Muadhin says, Hayya ala salah, come to the masjid, come to salah. Hayya ala falah, come to success. We say, La hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. There's no power, no ability to do anything, no power and might to stay away from any bad without Allah's help. We say it straight away to reaffirm. Muadhin, you're telling me to come to masjid, but I don't have ability, even if my house is across the road, I don't have ability to walk to masjid unless my Allah gives me tawfiq. So I taught this lesson here. وَذْكُرْ رَبَّكَ إِذَا نَسِيتَ. How it can happen, you human beings, nisyan. Forgetfulness is part and parcel of your nature. Forgetting something is normal. But what do you do when you forget? وَذْكُرْ رَبَّكَ إِذَا نَسِيتَ. Remember Allah if you forget. The ulama say from here, whenever you forget to say inshallah at that time, but later you remember, straight away take Allah's name. Say inshallah. It can happen. You know, even jaldi, Brother Talal says to me, can you do this? I'll say, yeah, I'll do it. And then 5 seconds later, I forgot to say, inshallah. As soon as you remember, wadhkur rabbak, remember your Rabb. A lesson from here is never too late. You've made a mistake, you've made an error, but you can always compensate and make up for that error in whatever way. Sin is mistake, right? A sin is a mistake. Person remembers they made a sin, straight away tawbah. There's a way to make up for it. So even dua of eating. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, whenever a person sits down to eat, they do not take the name of Allah, shaitan starts to eat with them. Whatever food that person is eating, the influence of shaitan is heavy and strong in that food until they take the name of Allah. Bismillahi awwalahu wa akhirahu. As soon as they say it, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, shaitan, he vomits out whatever he ate. Meaning there is no more effect of shaitan on that food. That food will be beneficial for you. It will not create laziness, lethargy. It will not distract you from the remembrance and worship of Allah Ta'ala now. You know, it's overruled. So nisyan happens, forgetfulness happens. The Quran as well, many times Allah Ta'ala talks, but even about prophets, alayhim salatu wasalam. Sayyidina Musa alayhi salam is going to come in the story of Sayyidina Musa and Khidr. La tu'akhidni bima nasitu. Sayyidina Musa says to Khidr, O Khidr, la tu'akhidni bima nasitu. Don't be harsh with me if I forget things. I can forget. Sayyidina Musa, he's going to come. Musa alayhi salam promised Sayyidina Khidr, I'm going to listen to whatever you say, but I forgot, I made a mistake. Please don't be harsh with me. Forgetfulness can happen. The only being who does not forget is Allah Ta'ala. Human beings are, that's why it's called, say, insan is from nisyan. In the other word, insan, human, is from nisyan, to forget. Our father Sayyidina Adam alayhi salam, فَنَسِيَ وَإِذَا آدَمْ فَغَوَى something, فَنَسِيَ. Allah Ta'ala uses the word نَسِيَ for Sayyidina Adam alayhi salam. Adam alayhi salam forgot, he made a mistake. So insan, mankind, is derived from nisyan, to forget. Forgetfulness, mistakes, errors, this is our lot. We're going to make mistakes. As long as we can make up and compensate. And this is what this ayah is teaching me. وَذْكُرْ رَبَّكَ إِذَا نَسِيْتَ. Whenever you forget, whenever you make a mistake, remember your Rabb. And وَقُلْ عَسَىٰ أَن يَهْدِيَنِي رَبِّي لِأَقْرَبَ مِنْ هَذَا رَشَدًا. And say عَسَىٰ أَن يَهْدِيَنِي رَبِّي. I have strong hope in my Allah that my Allah will guide me towards something which is better than this. The Mufassirun say, what does that mean? Allah Ta'ala is instructing Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, say, عَسَىٰ أَن يَهْدِيَنِ رَبِّي. My Rabb will surely guide me to something which is more better than this. Than what? Than the story of the people of Kahf. Remember, the story of the people of Kahf is what? Is a test for Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, isn't it? They are testing the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam to see if he has knowledge about the people of Kahf. And now he's proven he's got knowledge. Allah revealed that. But at the same time, Allah Ta'ala is saying, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, this is not the only evidence or the only miracle that you will prove to show that you're a true prophet. Allah will give you so many more miracles in the future, which will be more powerful in implementing this, you know, reality in their minds that you are truly a prophet of Allah. Because Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam felt worried. If the angel does not bring revelation, these people will not think I'm a true Nabi. This is what Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam felt. Allah is reassuring Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that look, this is nothing. Even if I tell you this bit of information, this is not the greatest miracle you will bring. You will bring so many more miracles. And this was in Makkah. The surah was revealed where? In Makkah. From Makkah all the way to Medina and all the life of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. How many miracles did Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam perform? Until he became certain that this was indeed a true prophet of Allah. So Allah is reassuring the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, don't worry. عَسَىٰ أَن يَهْدِيَنِي رَبِّي. It is very likely that my Rabb will guide me towards those things which are more certain and more definitive in proving that I am a prophet of Allah. Inshallah, inshallah, I think we'll... This is the last ayah which is connected to it, but inshallah we'll do next week. Don't want to make the sessions too long, inshallah. Allah Ta'ala give us all correct understanding. Allahumma taqabbal minna innaka antas samiul alim wa tub alayna innaka antat tawwabur rahim. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdika astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk.